God's not finished with us. He's not finished with our nation, with our town, with our lives. And this morning, this message is hopefully going to encourage you to seize the kingdom and to think about the future that God has for you and the destiny that he has for you. So the title of this message this morning is "The Promise is Obtained, the Victory Gained." The promise is obtained, the victory gained. But before we do that, shortly someone's going to testify here this morning, just for a short while. And this week, as I've been listening to the radio and I've seen a couple of things on TV, I've seen servicemen, I've seen veterans testifying about what they went through in the war years and after the war years. And testimony is so powerful because testimony says, God's done something good in my life, and it's worth talking about. It's worth sharing. Amen. Testimony remembers periods of time where there was a lot of difficulty, and God's goodness and his grace and his mercy brought us through. So we testify about that, don't we? Amen. Testimony also remembers periods of time, good times, when we've been through times where it seems like all is well. It also gives us a room for a testimony of thanks, just to say thank you for all you've done. And so there's testimonies all over the country this morning. On the run-up to Remembrance Day, people will have been testifying to what God has done for them. And testimonies give us the opportunity to remember not to take for granted what has been done for us, what has been provided for us. Amen. And so thank God for testimonies going on. And I have said over the years, church, come forward and bring your testimony. Bring your good report. Bring your bad report that turned into a good report. And just bring life and testify to what God is doing in your life. You know, the veterans are still speaking out. You know, they're dwindling to the tune of about 130 a day because of their age. But those that remain here, there's still a voice. They still keep testifying of the incredible ways their lives as survivors were shaped by the war and what the war meant. And the war meant more than just horror, but it also meant there was joyous times. There was celebrations, there was camaraderie, there was friendships, there were things forged during the war that just, you know, I never forget someone once said to me, the best relationships are forged in adversity. It's when we're under attack, it's when there's a war that people pull together and that those relationships become strong, amen? And a lot of our servicemen and veterans, they testified of God's deliverance. And I want to speak about that a little bit later on. But a lot of them that I heard this week, I certainly heard one gentleman saying, if I had to do it all over again, I would do it. I would fight for my country. I would do what I needed to do. And so not only were they involved in the British Armed Forces, but since then, those thoughts, can you imagine the war, how it's occupied their mind? And they've had to live with that, and many of them actually don't want to really see or watch media connected with it because they say, I lived it, I was there, I lived through it. And so testimonies from an eyewitness, from someone who has lived through something, is the most powerful testimony that we can ever hear. Amen. And so, you know, we all love sharing stories. The Scots people love sharing stories, you know. So do the Irish. So do most folk love sharing stories. It's the fabric of life, is sharing stories. But a testimony says, I lived through this. I was there. Sometimes we get third and fourth and fifth hand stories to share. But when someone comes up and they say, I want to let you know what God has done in my life, that is a powerful thing. And so it's okay to tell stories and retell stories. It doesn't diminish their power, but there's something that gets our attention when someone who has lived through something testifies. Amen. So I'd like to invite Haley to come and testify and share what's on our heart this morning.
Hi everyone, for people who don't know me, my name's Hayley. I began coming to church about 5 or 6 years ago, and getting to know God was like a domino effect on our family. Firstly, my Auntie Gail, my mum, my wee gran, and then finally myself. I experienced a lot of hurt in the last 7 or 8 years. I was badly bullied at school. My group of friends were heavily influenced in drink and drugs. And I really sadly suffered 4 miscarriages as well. I self-harmed, which eventually left me feeling like I had no way out. And this led me to my first ever suicide attempt. Following that being unsuccessful, I then tried another 3 times, which eventually landed me in psychiatric care. I suffered massively with my mental health, and I didn't see there being a light at the end of my journey. After an operation, I was finally blessed to be able to have my son. Yes. However, shortly after that, I was then diagnosed with postnatal depression, and I knew something had to change in my life. I wanted to feel better for this beautiful little life that God gave me, and I've waited so long for him for. So I began a new journey. In Psalm 119, verse 130, says the entrance of the word gives light, and it was my responsibility all this time to allow God's entrance into my heart. I was consumed by sadness and depression that I'd completely closed my heart to Jesus. In service previously, Pastor David spoke about how there will be a time to redirect your life and an opportunity that can be built on, and this was my time. While Theo was growing up, I began to explore our personal relationship with God, and I seen all the good things that he was doing for my family. I began to experience things myself. And this is my first ever encounter where I thought, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So my mum had told me that whatever you give God with tithes, he'll multiply it for you. So I was struggling with money financially, and I'd gave in to the tithes and offerings. This was my first ever time. And I remember going back to my flat after this, and I received a tax return. And I phoned my mum, and I was like, I can't believe this. This is crazy. And it was God working in my heart behind the background. So I began to love myself. I began to pray. I began to love my family more, because having all this sadness and darkness in my life, it was reflecting on my family's relationship. I loved my son, and I loved my family more than whatever I did before, because God was working in my heart. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, love destroys all fear, knowing you're in the hands of your Saviour who loves you with a supernatural love. This should banish fear from our lives. Receiving God's love banished that fear of being completely consumed by the darkness for me. I still struggle on and off mentally, but if you're in danger, look to the Lord. Happiness can be found in him. It's good to be around people who are full of hope instead of negativity. The Holy Spirit helps us, and he reminds us that we're going to get through the bad days. On the 1st of October, I was baptized, and in the last month, I have never been stronger. God has opened his doors for me, and this is my final step to be as close to God as I could be. When I had really bad postnatal depression, my mum was always there for me with Theo. A lot of people at church will see that. Theo's always my mum's wee sidekick. So my mum took a lot to do with Theo when I was in a bad time, which I genuinely believe God sent me a guardian angel, and that was my mum. Because if it wasn't for her and God, I wouldn't be here. When I say things have been different for my life, I have never been able to have Theo stay with myself full time. And since I've been baptized, he has stayed at my mum's twice. And he's having a great relationship with his gran because she's finally able to be a gran again. So Pastor David also mentioned in service that the Bible says that God has good things planned for us long ago, prearranged for us. A simple redirection in life gets us onto a better path. And I believe my testimony is a great example of that. Sometimes we don't even realise that God is leading us somewhere new and beautiful because it's still very dark. But when we get to see all that he's done, we will get to see all he's done when the light finally returns. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Haley. It was lovely to hear the honor in there for your mom and your gran and your family. So, and we had a wonderful, we on Wednesday mornings at 7 a.m., yes, 7 a.m., we pray in the hall here and we pray for families. And one thing we've been praying for is household salvation. And so we know that we're another family member. We're getting closer to another family member coming to know the Lord. Amen. So praise God. Thank you, Haley. That was very encouraging. And so God can redirect your life. And he can take you off of the path that you're on now. And maybe it's a path you're not very sure of. You're not very secure. You're maybe anxious over the future. And he can change your life completely. And so this morning, listen to what God's word has to say. You know, when you're at Remembrance Sunday, you're spoiled for choice. You could speak about all sorts of things. You could speak about courage, sacrifice, loss, hardship, all of these things. You could speak about peace. You could speak about victory. Well, victory is a good subject to speak about, amen. But one thing, if we just look outside, we look around the world today, there's one thing that is on my mind, and it's the front lines. You know, there's front lines out there where people are in conflict and waging war on front lines in this world. And, if you think back to the war years, I'm going to be reflecting a lot on actually what went on during the war years, the world wars. But there was relative cohesion in our country. There was people were not experiencing the same disturbances and the chaos that we see out there at the moment. And so when people talked about the front lines back then, they were talking about a country far away, where they were met head on with aggression and hostility. And so the front lines were never really, didn't seem close as such. They were always somewhere far away. And so a military campaign would be organized or whatever, and countries would join with one another or ally, and they would go into conflict campaign to change things. That's not the case today. The front lines are on our doorstep. The front lines are all around us. And as a Christian, and as Christians here, and maybe you're not yet, or maybe you've never given Jesus a second thought, or the Lord, or anything, but as Christians, we are called to campaign. We are called to the front lines of our own world here. Amen. And the front lines are simply the spaces and places where we do our everyday business with people who don't know Jesus. That's our front lines. And the campaign that we wage as Christians is not a campaign of violence. It's a campaign of love. Because everything is born out of love. Everything that Christ did for us was born out of love. And he said that he died for everybody. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you were a Hindu, a Buddhist, or a Muslim. Christ came to die for all. And people who make the decision to give their lives to him and trust him, he says, you will know eternal life. And you will know a life and a life more abundantly. So we've got this campaign, and God equips us for the campaign because he gives us his word, right? He gives us his word. It contains, if you thought, you know what, I always assumed that God thought this of me, or God is this, or God is that. If you really want to know what God thinks of you and what his intentions are for your life, you can find it here. You can find it in God's word. And so this is our campaign manual. It contains the words of Jesus Christ. He's our commander, and he gave us commands in this book to take and to go out and to campaign. And it encourages us with the testimony of people from long ago in a testament called the Old Testament, the testimony from long ago. And one of those awesome testimonies, or many of them you'll find in Hebrews 11, where all the people who... you might have looked at them and thought, well, you're not up to much. But they all, their lives were redirected, and God did something powerful with their lives. So we get guidance from God's word, from the Bible. Hallelujah. And so we've got the Old Testament, and then we've got the apostles in the New Testament, the New Covenant, that we can look and we can say, okay, there has been a goal set before us. And this helps us with not only God's word, but with the help of the Holy Spirit. There's a goal set before us. It's called the Great Commission. And I can be involved in God's purposes on the earth. And when you're involved with God's purposes on the earth, life is full. It's sometimes even more than full. It's like, oh, it's almost overwhelming. Amen. So we have relationship with our Father God, mediated by Jesus Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're empowered for this campaign. Hallelujah. So I've got a few things that I'm going to read out to you just now concerning thankfully, the victory that the Allies won at that time. And there was one thing that, there was one thing in that campaign that really delivered victory, and many of the history books don't announce it or highlight it very much. That was prayer. Prayer. Jesus taught us that we could take a hold of the reality of God's perfect will, and we could bring it down to this earth. We can take what is in heaven and bring it to bear in a conflict, in a war zone. It doesn't matter what size or what nature the crisis is. Does anyone agree the world's in a bit of a crisis? Every hand would go up. The world's in crisis. But no situation is too small or too big for prayer not to be effective in. Amen? Our prayers are meant to bring the possibilities of heaven down to earth. Amen? Bring the possibilities of heaven to bear on every situation, every evil situation, every dark situation that surrounds us. Now, whether that's an illness in your family, whether it's terrible circumstances you're going through at work or in life, or whether it's a war, and that war is on our doorstep, prayer brings... let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer establishes God's will on earth. You know, during the Second World War, Britain held 7 national days of prayer, 7 of them. And it wasn't just the church that was praying. Every synagogue was full of people that were praying. The Catholics, the Anglicans, the Jews, everyone would stop at noon to pray. Amen. And they would pray for the country. They would pray for our country. And here's something that you wouldn't see today if you picked up the Daily Record. But if you picked up the newspapers in those days, they were actually advising people on how to pray. Imagine, would you imagine picking up a paper and here's how to pray? Actually, there was, I think it was an Alpha campaign on buses a while ago. Try praying. Amen. America were one of the Allies. On D-Day, one large, very large, famous company sent all 3,000 of its employees home. Take time off. Go and pray. Go and pray. When the church bells rang, it was a reminder for people. It was like a call to prayer. Come and pray. It bonded people together in unity. Special services were held everywhere. The churches were full. Were their prayers answered, is my question. Were they answered? And if so, what was the result of these prayers? Well, I want to give you a couple of examples. At Dunkirk, 335,000 men were rescued from Dunkirk, okay? All these wee craft and all sorts of vessels, anything that could carry people came and took men from those beaches, amen? Now, I wouldn't be able to stand here and make that statement today that 335,000 men were saved if it wasn't for two miracles that took place. The first one was the expectation that the War Office had was that they might get 45,000 men back again. 290,000 men more actually did make it. That's a miracle. The other miracle was that particular day, the channel was strangely calm. And people that were familiar with the channel said, this is not normal. They testified that it was a miracle that it was so becalmed that day, and that allowed all of these vessels to go back and forward. If anyone's ever read Rhys Howell's book, Intercessor, which is an old book, I think it was published in 1953, and if you can get a copy, it'll really, really encourage you. God intervened in the weather and in all sorts of natural circumstances to cause and to help protect our country and deliver our men. Amen. And so when Britain went back to church afterwards for a national day of thanksgiving, the newspaper, The Telegraph, wrote this: one thing can be certain about tomorrow's Thanksgiving in our churches, from none will the thanks ascend with greater sincerity or deeper fervor than from the officers and men who have seen the hand of God, powerful to save, delivering them from the hands of a mighty foe who, humanly speaking, had them utterly at his mercy. Hallelujah, that's an amazing, powerful statement. Another second and third day of prayer came during the Battle of Britain. The German Air Force were trying to clear the way for an invasion, for a Nazi invasion. Britain won the battle, and the Air Chief Marshal said this: I will say with absolute conviction that I can trace the intervention of God. Humanly speaking, victory was impossible. So, but with God, all things are possible. Humanly speaking, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. All of these testimonies from great leaders of the time. I get the impression when I read all these testimonies that for them, God was not the last resort. He was the only resort. He was the only one. He was the only one that could actually deliver him. There were few, if any, other opportunities for this country to be delivered. Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning just for a few moments, and I'm going to springboard off of Ephesians chapter 5. So if you've got your Bibles with you or your e-Bibles or whatever it is, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 from the Amplified Bible. And it says there, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time. Isn't that a good one? Making the very most of your time on this earth, recognizing and taking advantage of every opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are full of evil. Amen. The days are evil. The days were evil. They still are. Amen? This verse tells us, don't focus on evil days, but focus on opportunities instead. Don't let your focus go to the evil that is going on. Let your focus go to what opportunity do I have? Amen. What opportunity do I have? Don't be intimidated by the evil that you see on your TV screen, on your phone or your tablet or whatever it is. Don't be intimidated by that. Rather, begin to get excited about the opportunities that are there for us to take a hold of. There are promises to be obtained and victories to be gained. This verse, Ephesians 5, says, live life with purpose and courage. I want to say this morning, we must be prepared. Be prepared to put up a fight. We have to be prepared to put up a fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 from the New Living Translation says, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. Fight it. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Amen. Like I mentioned earlier, Hebrews 11. People all accomplished phenomenal things for God. Amen? Some of them were engaged in campaigns far away from home. Does anyone know the story of Daniel? Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel's front lines were Babylon. And, you know, the Babylonians, they had come, conquered his land, desolated the temple, and they took them to Babylon. And they even changed his name. It's like he wasn't even called Daniel anymore. He was a captive under King Nebuchadnezzar. Amen? And so he's in Babylon, but he was there and he seized the opportunity. He would not compromise. He fought for what he believed in. He knew that there was a purpose in his captivity even. And it turned around that he delivered not only him and his friends that were there, but others there that the king had threatened to put to death because no one seemingly could interpret the king's dream. Amen? So you've got all of these amazing men and women. Rahab. Rahab was a Gentile and a prostitute. And because she stuck her neck out for God, God used her. It wasn't like, I'm going to wait for Rahab to be perfect and stop prostituting herself. God used Rahab when she was still a prostitute because she was willing to put her neck out there for God and put up a fight and do the right thing. David and Gideon conquered other kingdoms for godly purposes. So we have, they took a hold of God's promises. You see, as Christians, if we passively sit back and wait for God's promises to appear in our lives, we may never see them. Because promises, the promises that God has made are obtained. They're gained. And I want to read this in Hebrews chapter 11 to you from verse 32, the Amplified Bible again. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith, that is with an enduring trust in God and his promises, they subdued kingdoms, they administered justice, they obtained promised blessings and closed the mouths of lions. They extinguished the power of raging fire and escaped the edge of the sword. Listen to this bit. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became mighty and unbeatable in a battle. They put many enemy forces to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured to death, refusing to accept release offered on the condition of denying their faith. This will come in the future. Deny your faith and you can go. Turn your back on Jesus and you can walk on. So that they would be resurrected to a better life. And others experienced the trial of mocking and scourging amid torture, and even were in chains and imprisoned. They were stoned to death and they were sawn in two. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were deceived. They tried to deceive them. They were put to death by the sword, and they went about wrapped in the skins of sheep and goats. They were utterly destitute, oppressed, and cruelly treated. People of whom the world was not worthy. The word says that the world was not worthy of these people. Wandering in deserts and mountains and living in caves and holes in the ground. You know, God's people were pilgrims. They came out of captivity. And they could have been in Canaan in 2 weeks. But they did not obtain God's promises because they didn't. They were satisfied with what they had to complain, and so they went on a wilderness march for 40 years. Amen. They did not take a hold of God's promises. I have a land prepared for you. You can go there. Why did it take 40 years for them to get to a place that God had said, I have a land for you, prepared for you? Verse 39, all of these, they gained divine approval through their faith. They did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised because God had us in mind and had something better for us. Amen. So that these men and women of authentic faith would not be made perfect apart from us. So we read here that they gained what was promised. The word doesn't say they received what was promised. They had to gain what was promised by the Lord. Amen? We have to take a hold of what God has promised. God has promised us. How many promises are in the Bible? Actually, maybe our Bible scholars know. I think there's more than 3,000. Is that right? They're all there for our protection, our deliverance, all of these things. We have to take a hold of them. Amen? These people in the Hebrews 11, they didn't wait for it. They fought for it. They took a hold of it. This morning, fight for your health. Fight for your family. Fight for your circumstances to change. Amen? Whatever the situation is in your life, fight for it. You will gain it. It will not just happen. You have to obtain it. Obtain, a synonym, gain is just a synonym of obtain. They mean the same thing. Amen. So the peace that we know now was gained by the people who laid down their lives for us. It was gained for us. And the peace that we know now and the salvation we have was gained by Jesus. It was gained for us on the cross. Amen. In world wars, much blood was shed so that we could have freedom. But on the cross, his blood was shed. So that we could have freedom. And that freedom means more, should mean more to us than anything else. The blood of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is precious. It is so precious. It is so precious. So we have to take it. In Matthew chapter 11, it says, the kingdom suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. To be established in God's kingdom and to know eternity, we have to take a hold of it by force. We have to gain it. It's not just going to happen by coming to church on a Sunday or being passive and saying, you know, maybe, you know, my papa and my gran, their lines were in the church and that covers me, I'm okay. No, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning, I will invite you in a few moments' time to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior because he wants to know you. He wants you, he created you to have a relationship with the Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have to live under the oppression of the enemy anymore. People laid down their lives so we would not live under the oppression of the enemy. We live in the front lines here, and the enemy is close enough. As Christians, we know him as Satan or the devil. Amen. So this morning, don't be a subject of his schemes anymore. Amen. And I know that people resort to many things. Life's not going well. Maybe you've been in the Lord for a number of years. You've gone to counseling. You've gone through prayer ministry and all of this. But sometimes if we're not careful, these things just enable Christians to cope with the constant attack of the enemy instead of breaking out of it completely. And so we have to gain. How do we get to that place of not just coping, but gaining victory? Amen. Verse 34, go back. Weakness is turned into strength. So you're sitting here this morning, your weakness can be turned into strength. And it doesn't matter how you look. We know from these people, it doesn't matter what your stature is on the inside. Your heart is the size of your heart. I forget the saying. I'm going to mix it up now, but it's something like it's not the size of the dog in the fight that matters, but something like it's the fight in the dog. Yeah, it's the fight in the dog that matters. Amen. So praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to just bring this to a close here. You know, in Hebrews 11, if you look at those people, some of them didn't have a great start in life. Some of them you wouldn't even look at and think, they weren't even very holy or very good. But they were recognized for their faith and for their courage, and they believed God for impossible things. They went out and they gained the promises that were spoken over them, and they were rewarded for their courage in doing that. Now, on the front lines of our lives today and in the future, we're going to require to have courage. We're going to be required to speak the name of Jesus, and we're going to be required to engage with people and tell them there is hope. You know, hope is not wishful thinking. A lot of people think hope is something that might happen in the future. When you're in Christ, hope is something that we is a tangible substance that we know that God has given us an assurance. He says, if, thank God, the word if, sometimes you shudder when you see the word if, because it's like, I'm disqualified. But he says, if you will take hold of my promises, if you will take hold of what I have said that you can do, you can go where I say you can go. You can do what God says you can do. You can be who God says you can be. If you're a young person sitting in the church today, you can rise up and be an evangelist, a preacher, a nation changer. I love my brother-in-law when he used to do youth ministry here. We had a youth camp, and it was called Nation Changers. Nation changers. I see nation changers here this morning. So here's our last scripture, Isaiah 35, verse 3 to 6. Are you ready? This is a great scripture. Encourage the exhausted. Put your hands up if you're exhausted this morning. Be encouraged. Make staggering knees firm. Who's got staggering knees? Say to those with an anxious and panic-stricken heart, be strong and do not be afraid. Who's got a panic-stricken or an anxious heart? Be strong, do not be afraid. Because indeed your God will come with vengeance. His retribution will come, but he will save you. The eyes of the blind will then be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer. The lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, for the waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert.
Thank you for joining us today. For future content, please subscribe. And if anything spoke to you or was relevant to you, please leave a comment. If you want to find out more about the church, how to support the ministry or connect with us, then go to bridge-church.com. So until next time, thank you for joining us and goodbye.